The following program is sponsored by Scoop USA Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Scoop Thursday. Yesterday was Scoop Wednesday. Today is Scoop Thursday. It is a wonderful day. I've been blessed. I came outside. Every time I left out my house or out of a building today, the rain had stopped already, so I haven't gotten drenched yet. So I'm going to take that as a sign that I'm on time today because I haven't gotten wet. If I would have left 2 minutes earlier, if any room that I left out of, I would have been wet. So we're going to say that I was moving according to the schedule that God had me on. And with that, it is, as I started off saying, Scoop Thursday. And it's today is the day that our digital edition normally comes out. And our weekly edition has been out for a couple of days now, which means it's pretty much off of shelves by now, and we're moving into the process of getting ready for next week. This is an interesting time of year. It is May. Students are getting ready to graduate from high school, eighth grade, all different grades, graduation time. It's actually one of my typesetters was actually laying out the Black history in the memory lane photos from yesterday. And she had a very, very, one of my favorite photos. And I have tons of stories that I've done over the years. But one of my favorite photos is when the city used to do the caps and gowns on the art museum steps, when all of the kids, the top students would go and they would throw up their gowns. And she actually was putting one of those pictures in memory lane yesterday. And it was like, gosh, I don't think we've really done this since COVID, you know, and bringing all of these kids together and they stood out. And it just takes you back to a moment where you actually realize and understand the value of the things that we had versus the things that we have today. How important it is to really, really understand and accept life for what it is. And with that said, today is, it is, not only is May graduation time, it's mental health month. And one of my guests just came in and everybody is running late today, but we're not running late. We're on time. So we enter the room at the time that we're supposed to be there. So when everybody gets here, we'll start introducing and getting everything together. So with that said, when we think about the fact that it's graduation time, it's mental health month, it is time of the seasons changing and the things in our lives going from cloudy and rainy to hopefully sunny and warm and open. All of these things are happening all at the same time. And I actually had the great time of putting together vision last week and getting hit with some realities about this being mental health month and some things that are going on, and actually discussion about burnout and how people are being today in this world with mental health. And there was a great article in Vision, and it really, really touched my heart because as I publish and read articles and pull things together that people send me, a lot of times I get hit with some realities that I actually don't like sometimes. And this reality, this particular time, was this lady lists 10 things that indicate that you're on the verge of burnout. And each thing that she lists is something that I've been going through since January. So I literally sat here reading these articles. And of course, it was close to the middle of the night because I'm always behind schedule on in publishing and pulling together 3 and 4 papers at the same time. So it was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, no. So the 10 things which are crazy, I'll give you like 5 of them. You may be on the road to small biz burnout if you put all non-work-related tasks on a back burner. I think that everybody does that. My guest, my brother Shamari's over there, he's shaking his head no. All right, we're not ready for you guys yet. You always feel like you're behind. I just said that. You're nervous when you don't have something urgent in front of you. You're proud of how busy you are. The word no isn't in your vocabulary. You're laser focused on metrics. Ugh. all of these things are things that ended up being something that I was like, oh my God, no, not me. I do that. Oh man, did I mess up? Yeah, I think I did. Oh, okay. And you score low on trust. I think not so much trust individuals, trust to give people your responsibilities, thinking that they can't do, you know, do it to your level of expectations. You're not just yourself. And you're having trouble sleeping. So these are the things to look for. So you're having trouble sleeping or you're sleeping too much. Your interactions with others have become more conscientious. You started to socially withdraw from friends and family. You're finding it difficult to focus. Your self-care has slipped. You're leaning harder into coping mechanisms, alcohol, medication, whatever you're doing. I was looking to see what your face is because every time I say something, you're like, yes, no. You feel stuck or trapped by your business. And these those are the warning signs. Like, seriously, so as I'm reading this article, which again, things happen to me at the strangest times. As I'm reading this article and I'm putting it together, and then I'm like, all right, so now I got to walk away for a minute and breathe because I really like dissected myself now and looked and took it like, all right, so is this me? Is this really me? But I say that to say that it is Mental Health Month. It's a time to set back, to think about the things that you may need to take a break from or breathe. Start doing those things. And after I read that, I says, all right, so I've been already mentally trying to focus on work-life balance and stopping and going home with my daughters and trying to make sure that I have dinner with them and trying to really, really, I've been trying to leave the office at a regular time, which I don't think will ever happen, but I'm trying. Really, really trying to incorporate some stuff. I even asked Stephanie yesterday, which is my typesetter who did the graduation photo. I'm like, well, maybe you can, I'm going to give you a chance to start doing a layout on the second scoop paper. Because you have to learn how to trust and give people something so that you can move out of those situations. Because doing three papers is a lot. But just knowing that. And I encourage, I everything that I say, I do myself. I encourage people to take and do themselves. Because if I can notice things that are happening in my life, I'm sure that it's happening across the board. And I think that there are a number of things that have brought us to this point. It's after COVID. It's the depression of the state of the city with the homicides, with the murders, with the donuts in the street, with the people driving crazy, ready to run into you. There are like multiple levels of things that are going on that most people haven't lived with in their lifetime. And I haven't lived in a situation where I saw people who are driving from completely to one lane and trying to get over to the other and making weird turns in the middle of the street. I've never seen anything like that until now. But I think that we're all on this different pendulum. And I think that the world is not really, really lined up to where it's supposed to be. And it's going through transition, I guess is the right way of saying it. And during this transition, the people who have normal expectations are having to learn how to adapt to this new world, which I'm not doing so well with myself. So mentally, I think that all has a lot to do with it. So Amaris is here. So I'm going to give you a quick update of how things happened this morning. This morning was a wonderful day. I got up and I went to a career day at Jesu. Jesu Elementary, I've spoken with, make sure it's plugged in. I've spoken with students. Here, take this one.
Hold on.
I've spoken with students from 5th to 8th grade today, maybe like 6 different classes, and spoke with them about the paper, about life, and really, really just what Jesu means. So I started out there, and then we all got here, and I think that the timing of things didn't line up with the way that my expectations told me they were going to when I started out this morning. I was supposed to leave there at 10:30. I left there at 11:30. Then I didn't have papers, so I needed to make some moves. And I actually ended up doing better than I thought I was because I got here at exactly 12. So, and that may be a testament of how I drive. We're going to talk about that. But, so, today is a special day. We're going to talk about a few things that are going on in Vision. Amaris did a great article envision, and I want her to talk a little bit about the person that she interviewed, because this particular person in Scoop Vision, which is a business paper, we do our due diligence and help nonprofits and people who are trying to make a change as much as we can. And we do an article on a nonprofit every month. And Amaris did an article this month. Actually, Amaris does the nonprofit articles. So she did an article on a nonprofit who is actually a veteran who's doing what you love. So today, our guest, we have Brother Shamari, who is here. When you say hi, sir.
Hi.
So we have media people in the house today. This is a media session. And we have Laura Elam, who's a photographer extraordinaire, running around the city doing... She saves me a whole bunch of times if she's in the room with me. She'll end up taking shots for me, which allows me to walk around and talk and not... I have to figure out what to do with my cell phone. So, and Laura's working on a big project, which we're going to talk about, because I think that we're going to actually... While you're explaining what your project is, I'm going to sit here with my phone and answer your questions so I can ask you what this means, because I figured that would be great because I didn't do it. Amaris is going to do it too, and we'll get Brother Shamari too if he can do it. So okay. Laura's working on a big project, and she has this unique question, and I'm going to ask you this question now so you can actually start trying to figure it out in case you want to call in and talk to her about it. The question is, what's the question, Laura?
Do you know, first of all, my name is Laura Elam, and I'm so happy to be here, and thank you again for bringing me here. I'm glad I ran into you at a great moment. I'm such inspired by the people around me who I've met, who inspire me to do this project. And it comes through the heels of being in the military and my civilian sector. And before I ask that question, I want you to understand that people don't realize that when you work in both sides of the fence, military and civilian, there is a lot of misconnection. But the one thing I wanted to connect was, when I was working in the military, I worked with medical records, and I did PR. So I am taking pictures of people, being around people for 28 years, and I'm observing their patterns. The one thing about working with medical records is you actually see people. When I was in Germany, this is the best example, for 2 years, I actually watched people come in for deployment and watched some of them leave out very sick and ill. And one of the reasons what made them sick and ill is because they didn't know, not just this one question, they didn't know everything about their issues of themselves. So the one question I want to ask everyone is, do you know your blood type?
So real quick, before we even get started on the rest of the conversations for today, because we're going to leave that and we're going to talk a little bit and then we're going to come back and talk more about that. But do you know your blood type, Amaris?
Yes, I do. We discussed this on the phone.
Brother Shamari, do you know your blood type?
I used to. I forgot it.
I know
I'm the most, my blood can be used anywhere. So whatever.
So you're O.
Thank you.
Okay. And Laurie, I'm assuming because you're asking this question, you know yours.
Yes, I do.
So I used to know mine at 1.2. So I had a very, very, my second pregnancy was very, very, very hard. I was a little bit older. I was 36. And you have to know certain things because that it's risky. They say you're at high risk. And I needed to know it then. But my pregnancy was so hard that by the time I had my youngest daughter, who's now 18, I completely wiped my brain of everything that had to do with that whole situation. Because I didn't want to remember how bad it was. It was a rough time. So I think that I'm B. I think that I am. But that's based off of me thinking that I know what I knew then. Because it's seriously, it's going back to what I was saying when
so
I first started.
Words, you're just making it up, right?
It sounds good.
I'm doing what I got to do. You know, you make it, you fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
Right. So, but it goes back to what I was just talking about mental health and how I blocked that. Seriously, I mentally have not wanted to remember too much about that medical experience, because it was a trying time for me. But it goes back to, and literally before you came in, I was reading some excerpts about mental health and burnout and how it affects you. But it goes to that point that when you have, seriously, I'm a whole case study. I don't even mind telling it. I'm a total case study.
I have a funny story for you on burnout and just overdoing myself.
So, but when you think about it and you understand things such as that, so I'm believing that I am a B. I'm believing that I am. I'm usually.
Will you bet your life on that?
Yeah. As you get the wrong blood, you're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, no, because I'm gonna sit there when something happens, and I'll be like, I don't know.
Okay. I'm an A positive. He's a unicorn. He's what blood type is a unicorn. Like that, it's not as common, and you can donate to everybody. So that's you're a unicorn.
Yeah,
just
they
saying.
Want you.
I know I am an A positive, I'm gonna tell you how I learned. I learned one from my mom at a younger age, and I learned again when I was in the military and when I gave blood at Red Cross. But the one thing I want you to understand is my mom told me, but she didn't tell me the correct one. And she didn't do that on purpose. She has 5 children.
Okay.
So she was trying to make a nursery rhyme. Like, you're B positive. Your blood type is B positive. So I grew up my whole life, B positive. Mm-hmm. I'm B positive. So I always had that cheerleader mentality. And I still do. Because I loved it. Unfortunately, that wasn't my blood type. so I had to switch gears.
Like, Sherry, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to make up something and run with it until they get caught.
I'm the best of the best. I'm an A positive.
Yeah,
I'm not doing this with y'all.
But the thing about it is, what got me the most is when I started discovering more and more stuff about what can I bring to the table to make a difference, I realized that more and more people didn't know their blood type. In fact, when I did the survey, it's like 55% knew it and the other percent did not know it at all.
It was that high.
And
that goes along with the fact that half of us don't want to go to the doctor.
And that's
Seriously. Seriously, because I take in my own case study, I tell you, after my experience with my daughter, I don't want to go see those people. My husband was like, you need to go to the doctor. And I'm like, why?
Why?
I used to give blood regularly, so that's Did when you? I knew it for some reason. I just don't know it anymore.
See, I don't remember. I've been blessed.
I'm not going to make up one, though.
I've never weighed until maybe 5 years ago. I've never weighed more than 108 pounds, so I was never able to give blood because you have to weigh
true. And you can't be anemic.
Yeah. And I've always been between 90 and 95 pounds. I've never weighed enough, so whenever we had blood drives at the office, I would be happy because I can collect names and nobody would dare ask me for blood because I was too little.
I'm not laughing at you, but...
I got out of it easy.
Because I remember when one time I wanted to give blood because they were giving out tickets to the Sixers or something, right? Yeah. And I really wanted to give blood.
They used to incentivize it.
And I was like in line. I did everything. And when they tested me and they said, oh, you're anemic. And then they said, well, come back tomorrow, try again. I went home and took all this stuff and ate all this stuff and ate all that and went there. And like, you thought I would won the lottery. Like, please, 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 please. And they said, sorry, you're still too low. You know what I mean? And I was just like, what? You know, I was upset.
What do I have to do?
I know. What do I have to do?
I want those tickets.
I want the tickets, right? And then she said, well, you can volunteer for 2 weeks and then we'll give you a ticket.
Oh, wow. God.
So I was like volunteering. Now I'm volunteering because I didn't know what I needed to do. So my doctor gave me iron pills for the next go around. And I wound up taking all these other additional supplements so that I could just give blood.
Wow.
And then they told me if I ever have operation, be sure I give blood before I have surgery.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that makes sense.
Yeah. So I started realizing that the fear of my own medical condition was overseeing my own medical treatment.
Now, okay, so here's the thing, because I used to donate blood all the time, and for low on the totem pole, I was like, yay, crackers and juice, but not tickets. But
we used to get money.
Oh, really? Money?
Y'all never got paid for.
No.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, sure. It used to be a starving college student thing, so we would do every kind of medical experiment in order to get paid. So you used to get paid giving blood.
But females...
you just threw her completely off. You talking money?
I know. I was like, I really was just like, yay, crackers and like juice.
But isn't it weird? So.
Those crackers and juice seemed like they were like the best tasting crackers and juice you ever had.
You were about to fall out because you just gave blood.
I mean, I did pass out one time. One time I passed out after like donating blood, and it was the first time that I got my mother to donate with me. So I was like, yeah, I do it all the time. Nobody ever passes out. Who passes out in front of my mother?
Wow.
Me.
Can I ask the elephant in the room question? Yeah, what do the different types actually mean, though? What is it measuring such that you're an A, somebody's a B, somebody's a no, whatever, negative and positive?
Now, I don't know the exact words because I am not medical professional, but I did read upon it, and I will respond to you as soon as you do your survey, I promise.
Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to be working. I didn't even know I was going to be a guest, to be honest. I thought I was
going to. It's right there. I gave it to him when I first. I gave it to him. Yeah.
So, everybody, we're going to try and do this survey so that we.
I'll give you one too.
Oh, I didn't even realize. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to do the survey so that we're three people that are added onto her list right here.
And when I reached 100 people who did my survey, I'm going to tell you right now, that was the greatest feeling I ever received.
How long did it take you to get there?
It took me a minute because at first I wasn't aggressive by asking people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I was going to walk down the street, people going to look at me and say, oh, here, can I do your survey?
Now, would this tell me my blood type or?
No, it will not tell your blood type.
Your blood type has to...
It had to be stuck with a, you know...
Yeah, this is a quiz to know how much you don't know about yourself.
This thing is not...
I know how much I don't know.
Come on, phone.
And the thing about what I love about it is the other responses that people gave me. Now, one of my things that I start, not just knowing your blood, I want to get it on your birth certificate or on your driver's license.
Oh, wow.
As a choice.
Okay.
Like especially when people have a baby, they can have it right on the birth certificate.
Jesus.
Mm.
And then if they are giving as an organ donor, why can't they have their blood type in there? But I don't think it should be shown, my personal opinion. Yeah. I think it should be coded.
Okay.
So if you're donating your organs, you already know, like as a gentleman that needs a kidney right now, he's blood type A, which falls under my window because I'm blood type A. But the thing is, it's to help you and your family, too, to know your blood types. Mm-hmm. So if you have someone in your family that may need something or have an operation... It's quite easy to just ask your family than to hope that the blood bank would give you blood.
Okay.
It's like to prepare your family that you're getting ready to have a surgery. My main platform is to build communication of your medical history. I don't want people to be afraid of knowing that they're a diabetic.
Yeah.
I don't want people to be afraid they have these illnesses.
Mm.
I want people to be subtly in tune of knowing, yay, one done. Of who they are.
No, I'm waiting for my phone to let me.
Oh.
Right.
Because I tell you, when I was in Germany for 2 years, I just lost my mother, didn't know all of her medical history. And talking about work-life balance, brought that up. That's one thing I did study as well. Stress cannot help you when you're trying to do work.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. But if you know that you're certain things you have to get done every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your pap smear, your breast check, and everything else. It'll flow, like, easy.
You think so?
Yeah, if you make a day, like, on your birthday, you're going to make sure you get AYZ done.
Mm.
I used to do that. I don't do that no more.
And that's what I want to bring back, because that's what is so sad.
I used to do that, but until somebody told me that I was almost at death's door and I had to live with the fact that I could die for about 10 years, I do not mess with doctors. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, and I can understand it.
That is a very, like, when somebody says that you have a terminal illness and you're going to be sick for the rest of your life and you need, like, that right there. Mm-mm.
Now, unfortunately, it happened to me 3 times.
Completely holistic, and I was like, "All right, I ain't doing that." And my kids got drilled in their head, No, do this, do that. And then I'm healthy, thank God. I am healthy today, but it takes a lot to get me there. My doctors since I was 18,
and they know that they
call me and they says, "We know you don't want to come, but you got to come."
No, and I respect it because I was told 3 times that I was going to die.
Mm-hmm. But when you have to deal with that mentally,
it'll mess you up. Like
yeah, it does.
When I say it, I think the last time is when I found I had Graves' disease, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what Graves' disease was, and all of a sudden I was preparing. Actually,
you took it verbally, Graves' disease.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh! So I actually started giving my stuff away. I started, like, planning to move out of my home. I kind of wrote a letter to my family and went on a trip. Like, I went to Hawaii. Like, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die good. Like, I'm going to be happy. And then he's like, and then some lady was walking down the thing. She said, oh, I have it too. All you got to do is ABC and you'll be all right. And I just like.
He was like, what?
What? If I did ABC, now look at me, right? Mm.
Now, is there a discrepancy between male and female or men and women in giving blood and all of these things?
I think when I am not, like I said, I'm not medical, but women have to be more conscious if their cycle is on. That's one thing, they have to be more conscious of it. But they do test you to see if your iron is up. I think that if you can give blood, you should give it. I'm supposed to be giving blood today, so when we get finished, I'll probably okay. like to give blood today.
Don't fall out.
No, I ate. I make sure I drink. I don't give out early in the morning. I always make sure that I'm highly nutritioned to give blood. So that is the debate that I'm working on. I want more people to just be asked that question, because if you wanted to know your blood type and you don't give blood and your job doesn't do it,
right?
You ask your doctor, they may charge you for it.
Or you is might that still a thing? Like, so the times I've given blood, you know, I mentioned before, but also I used to work at places where that was part of our, you know, they would sponsor blood drives, and if you were employed there, they encouraged you to participate.
Yes.
It was like a big deal back in the day. Is it still something that people still do?
Done. Sorry.
she's excited because she's done. My job did encourage me, and it was more like a team. And you get one of these cards here when you give blood.
Mm-hmm. I used to have one.
You still do. You have to go pick.
No, yeah. So, conspiracy theory alert.
Oh, no. I like that.
No, if you all remember, I don't know how many years ago it was now, there was a young black male that was, I think he was hit by a car and killed. And people, I think it was out near Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And so there's this conspiracy theory going around that, you know, his organs and his blood was used to help an ailing politician.
Oh, I think I
you remember that?
Oh, yes. I remember that.
So, like, that was a big deal in the black community.
Yeah, and he got the parts, and they say he upgraded his
He was doing well. And the young man was kind of dead. And so it's almost like this vampire effect where if you have a particular kind of, you know, good working blood or lungs or organs, you might, you know, we don't get the best medical treatment when we go into the hospital, but our stuff might get pirated for someone else's.
That's why I tell people, know your own medical treatment. Know your own body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you to tell me, because of HIPAA, right? And I'm not asking for anyone to tell me. And I really don't want you looking at me funny either, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that if you take control of knowing your own medical history, mm-hmm. you won't be so in tune to have that fear like I did, like with Graves' disease, when I took care of my mother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Taking care of my mother was a great wake-up call about medical mm-hmm. history when you have to care for someone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What happened was my brother was my mother's caretaker. He died first. So he had all the medical information, and I had none.
Mm-hmm.
So I was taking care of my mother, stressed from being deployed. I was going through a divorce. And I was about to get fired.
Ooh, you had a lot going on.
Oh, my God. It's May. It's mental health month.
Yeah.
That's why I love this month. This is my month, right?
A lot of my friends when I was younger, several of them had sickle cell. So that's what really made me conscientious about the whole blood thing and giving blood and things of that nature. Because I had a very good college friend who had sickle cell, and I would see him go through a lot of crises.
And they needed blood.
And then I came back to Philly, and friends in my circle, several had sickle cell. Set of twins, and you know, both died relatively young as well. So that's what made me conscientious about, you know, all the special kind of blood and things of that nature.
Now, when I was in school, way back when they had horse and buggies and the street was made out of,
they had chalkboards.
Chalkboards. And you get punished for cleaning the chalkboard. Yeah.
Do they not do the chalkboards anymore?
I don't think so.
They had whiteboards now.
Yeah.
It's a computer.
I mean, if a school still has a chalkboard, they're in trouble. That means that they're financially neglected.
Yeah, they're way behind. They're so far behind. We need to have a goofy fund for them.
They still have chalkboards, but they also have a whiteboard. They have both.
Right.
Because
nostalgia.
I think that it's best to show the differences. I have this thing, and it makes sense to me to show the alternatives, because at the end of the day, the lights go off, you still ought to write. Like, seriously, if the electric is off, we need an alternative. There's still a possibility that the lights are going
to
go off.
I mean, you should still have the dry erase board.
Yeah,
so you can do that. But chalkboards are kind of...
It's an
older building. So, you know, in older buildings, they're built in. Remember, they were in the walls.
I know.
So I don't think that they're going to pull the wall out to take the chalkboard out. They just put the whiteboard either sometimes
on top
over
of it.
Yeah.
But it's still there.
What I want to get back to is when they had that during that time, the school used to test us for sickle cell.
Mm-hmm.
I was at George Washington Carver School time, and they would run a test for all African American children would get tested for sickle cell.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And that's one thing I kind of hope that this will lighten up and bring it back. I can't make it the wheels turn.
Right.
I'm still trying to work.
So you're like saying when they did the, like, at some schools they still do your physical. My daughter still gets her physical every year.
Right.
You mean it's part of the physical that the nurse that would be able to test you for that?
Right.
I think that when AIDS and stuff came about and people were really scared to touch blood,
mm-hmm. Yes.
That's when all of that changed.
Right.
Because
that's sad too, because if you look at it like, this is a bad example.
So we're talking in 1990.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. One time I quit SEPTA and the elevator wasn't working. You know what the elevator guy, the SEPTA guy told me? The homeless people get on the elevator, so we had to shut it down. I said, well, I can't keep walking up 8 flights of steps because you're afraid the homeless getting on the elevator, so I'm being punished because your fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, so my thing is...
We just had COVID. Remember that? A lot of people, you know, a lot of things happen.
Right. So just as like with the AIDS scare, we're now dealing with the after effects of the COVID scare.
Right.
So people are not going to be as susceptible of giving you or sharing information.
Well, no.
As they're not even wanting to breathe in the room, same room with you.
But that's why it comes back to my original thing. You have mm-hmm. to know your body. You have to teach your children how to know their body. And the one thing I want to bring up as far as the survey is concerned, 18 through 29, 33% answered the survey out of 100 people.
Wow.
And the next one was 45 to 59. They did 25%. The lowest one was 60%, who was 60 years old. They were 18%.
Mm.
And 30 to 44 did 24%.
Okay. So you have a diverse... you have a real diverse group right there.
Right. What I added another question was sickle cell. What is your, you know, about that?
Mm-hmm.
So far, a lot of people have skipped that question because mm-hmm. they're not African American. Mm-hmm. But the ones who did answer gave some strong response to it.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a couple of friends who have sickle cell, and I had my mom's boyfriend when I was a kid had sickle cell, and we never actually understood or were really informed as to what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing that goes, I think, with our culture.
Yes.
You know, and unless you're directly affected by it, a lot of us don't know. Like, seriously, it's weird. We don't know or understand different ailments until it's right there at your door. And just like you said with Graves' disease, you're dealing with the issue that you actually don't really necessarily understand all that comes with it because it's not shared with you. Like, I don't know. I don't know the things that happen in my family. I think my grandmother said, like, different types of cancer, but unless I was there in a room, I wouldn't know that.
And another thing too, even
like
now
we don't share.
So I'm trying to get people to, it's sad because unfortunately, a lot of things I do for the photography side
mm-hmm.
is memorial. Every time mm-hmm. someone actually passed away, they send me a text and they ask me to send a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I go to memorial services, I'm overwhelmed with people wanting me to send images of that mm-hmm. person that passed away. And at first, I'm not going to lie to you, it was such an emotional strain
mm-hmm.
because I don't have time to mourn.
Mm.
I'm crying and people asking me for pictures.
Yeah.
Right? So I had to separate work-life balance mm-hmm. and learn how to balance and gather my own emotion. And the only way I did that is taking control of what's going on through the day.
So why is it important to know your blood type? So I have a friend, she's big into something called the blood type diet.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that book. I actually read it.
You need to eat according to your blood type
yes.
in order to have an optimal kind of experience.
Yeah, it's a good book. I read it.
I think if we could begin to market the idea of how people benefit from knowing their blood type and what are some of the risks of not knowing that. Like, I think if you know your Social Security number, which is what?
Some people don't know that's not a good example.
That's what I'm saying. That we got to know yourself. trust me.
I know that by heart. I was trying to figure out how many digits it was. Though. So that's 9 digits. I have to remember 9 digits to know my Social Security number.
Yeah.
I have to remember 7 digits to know my phone number.
Yes.
At least now it's like 10 digits.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I just remember a letter with a positive or negative
sign? And that's what I'm saying. It's so sad. If you don't get that blood test because you have surgery or a baby, if you know what I mean,
yeah,
a surgery or a baby, you have to pay your doctor or they have to change the description of why you know your blood type.
I can just look in your chart and tell you.
Look in your chart. I want you to look in your medical chart and see if it's there.
They can. I'm saying they can.
No, because the reason why I'm telling you that.
I do.
Wow.
Actually.
Okay.
I do.
The reason why I'm saying it, because unless it's specifically a test is run for your blood test, it's not in your chart. You have to have a specific blood
type. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If you have your medical records on your phone, but earlier you were making up a blood type. So
it's a different doctor.
Okay.
So I had all of my paperwork that mm-hmm. I learned during my pregnancy with my OBGYN and my specialist because I told you I was sick and I found out during my pregnancy. So everything was heightened.
Right.
So they had to tell me.
But I'm saying this, but it's not on like your common medical
records. Well, no, not in here.
Right.
That's why, like, my middle.
But this right here, the thing that they send to your phone is just your updates. And
but, like, why wouldn't it be on your common medical record?
Because that's what I'm trying to tell you. That's, you know, that's one thing I'm working on where it says crying versus drool. To me, it's a crime that is not automatically in your medical record. Hmm.
So it's not on the screen when you go to the doctor and they can pull up all of your history? Because my doctors can pull up and tell me everything that was wrong.
Some doctors do. Okay. Some doctors don't.
Okay, because in my doctor's office,
it's not a mandate.
They can. Yeah. Well, no, because the systems are so, you know, in the hospitals now, if you go to the emergency,
integrated.
If I go to, I'm originally North Philly, so I was at Hanneman, Hanneman, my entire life.
Me too.
That's where I was
a volunteer.
Born. That's where I was born.
That's where I was. So my doctor is at Drexel, and my doctor, I have a good situation. My doctor was my grandfather's on my father's side's doctor, and my grandmother on my mother's side's doctor as well.
Ooh.
So she has my entire history. She knows me inside out from both sides.
And that was the one that spanked you.
And she just retired like six months ago. And now I have a new doctor who knows nothing about me. That's why my stuff is not the same in the system. But I have her. And then if I go to the emergency room at Lincolnall, they can pull up all of my information because it's all in a general source now.
But I'm just telling people, and this is my only thing is, if you don't know your blood type by answering this survey, ask your doctor
You can go about
getting
it.
Go see if you can find it. And this is like the opening of the doorknob of me saying to you to know your medical history.
So what's next steps with this?
For me, next step for me is, one, is make people aware of knowing their blood type. Mm-hmm. The second step is...
Are you going to do like a study and provide the results to people?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the end. That's what when I got 100 people, now I can start breaking down the study.
Okay.
When people respond truthfully, some people did not respond truthfully. And it's like every end.
Some people made up some stuff.
Yeah, like I think I'm not going to lie to you. The one answer that frustrated me the most when they wrote no thank you on all the answers.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be completely honest. That was the first time.
But why start?
Yeah.
Because they wanted something from me. Because now I have policies.
Oh, you were giving $50 out for the service?
No, no, no.
You're giving money away?
No, no, but...
Candy?
You're just trying to fatten your wallet. So, here, give me money.
But so I'm assuming also, though, I hear that you're trying to... You may also want to push for policy that makes this more accessible.
Yes. Because I feel whether you want to know or don't want to know, or you need to know or you're afraid to know, it should all be on the same level of open information when it comes to your body. Your blood type is the only thing in your body that does not change, and you get it the day you're born.
Okay. So you want people to have access to it without having to do like a PhD dissertation research in order to find it out.
And if you don't want to donate blood, that's your choice.
Right.
If you don't want to give your doctor $40 to know your blood type, that's your choice. You should not have a choice when it comes to the minute you're born. He should say, here's a test. And if you want to have your sickle cell done when your baby's born, check a block.
Oh, wow.
I have a question for you because, ultimately, is your goal to create a policy where all of our blood types are publicly accessible?
Not publicly accessible.
She says
private or publicly. Private meaning just like HIPAA, like just like in your own medical, whether you had AIDS or anything else, it should be done privately. I'm just saying that you, as your owner of your blood type, should have access to it.
Okay.
Okay. Because I don't want the people looking at me funny because they know I don't smoke, I don't drink. Next thing you know, I'm a candidate for every parts and people need for body.
Right, exactly.
But, well, that's
my conspiracy theory.
Yeah, like, one of your survey questions made me go, I don't know if I would want that public.
Right. No, but that's why I want you to respond.
That's why I tell people, like, I have bad blood, as they say. So every ailment you think somebody could have, I'm going to claim it. That way you don't want any of my body parts. So when I'm in the accident or whatever, like, don't leave me alone.
Leave me alone. Because I remember when
I'm going to make you sicker than you were.
I remember when I met Stevie Wonder when I was younger. Right? And I was so happy I met Stevie Wonder. And I remember when I went home, I said, Mom. She said, what? I said, Mom, I want to donate my eyes to Stevie Wonder. She said, you need them right now, baby. You know? I said, no, he can have them. Because I don't really need them as much as he do. Right, I didn't understand the whole giving of body parts. Mm-hmm. I just knew he touched me, and I want to give it to him.
Well, that's amazing. Because I'll tell you something from the Heavenly Father. Those who don't have other heightened skills, so he don't need your eyes. He's probably better off without them.
I know. Yeah,
that's
you're right.
They say
that your ears are, everything else is heightened so that you can still make it.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you.
And if you see that his success and his ability to still do and do a whole lot more than some people do with eyes.
Ooh.
No, seriously.
No, but I know. Yeah,
so you understand that is true.
Yes.
That you have other skills that are given to you to compensate for the things that you don't have.
That's why I keep telling people, stop wanting what other people have. Be happy.
I love the way the circle goes. We go from mental health to blood to... So be happy with what you got.
Be happy. And I'm telling you right now, you know that after I had my Graves' disease operation, right after, I could not walk at all. I was like with a cane and mm-hmm. barely could walk.
Look at you today. Mm-hmm.
And I know. And I remember doing a photo shoot. And I told the girl, look, I can't walk. I think I'm about to fall. And that girl didn't even hear what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I am leaning on the pole mm-hmm. taking pictures with thousands of people running up to me.
Everybody for themselves. Don't
right. And I'm saying to myself, am I speaking English? Like, maybe did I have something else going on? But that's when I realized I am my own audience when it comes to my voice.
Audience or advocate?
Both.
So, is blood type, are there cultural or demographic trends and patterns with blood type? Like, do certain ethnic groups have a preponderance of a certain blood type and others?
I didn't break down the culture because that's one thing I was afraid to even ask on my survey mm-hmm. because it did start it off. I mean, this is like the fourth generation of the survey that I started.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I did notice I didn't want to know people's culture.
Okay.
Okay.
I wanted to stay away from culture. I wanted to stay away from. I definitely wanted to stay away from culture. Mm-hmm. I didn't want it to be a black and white or Spanish.
No, because blood is blood.
Blood is blood.
But I mean, so for instance, sickle cell anemia.
I think
Tay Sachs used to be identified with a particular
German.
Culture
mm-hmm.
group.
You're right? Jewish.
So,
Jewish.
So I'm just wondering, you know, is that a function of blood type? You know,
that's a good question.
Yeah, it is inherited by culture. And that's I have to add Tay-Sachs to my survey. Because I do want to bring it up. Because someone came up to me and said to me, Laura is doing a blood test for African-Americans. And I was just like, well, I happen to be black and I am asking about questions. But I didn't really relate it to being African-American. Mm-hmm. I only brought it up because the situation when I was away for 2 years that I actually see young, viable people come in the door 2 years, and 2 years later I see them go out sick. Mm-hmm. And these people had all the medical treatment at the hospital, but they choose not to because they didn't know their medical history.
So I will say, as far as blood, and then I want to give Amaris a minute to talk about this photography project.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Because that's going to be near and dear to your heart, as well as your heart. Because,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, this is a media thing that's focused on veterans and something that she did. But I will say this. During my time of dealing with my issues of being sick and understanding what blood was, I ended up getting something called cholestasis. I was pregnant, and I itched my entire pregnancy because my liver wasn't strong enough to clean my blood.
Mm. Oh.
So you actually learn that your blood that flows through your entire body, it gets cleaned by your liver, and it mm-hmm. flows through. And if it is dirty,
mm. yep.
it sends bacteria through your skin. So your blood is actually one of the most important elements of your body. Yes. Because as I was sick in my pregnancy and itching and scratching every single day, because the blood that was going through my veins was not getting cleaned properly. But people don't understand logistically how intense and how deep that can go with blood. So starting out with your blood type is one thing, but literally understanding your blood and who you are is another. Yes. Because you can end up with something like that. And I didn't know until I got to the point with pregnancy and your body weight changing, like your body weight affects your functionality of your liver and all your other organs.
And your hormones.
So I wasn't able to carry a certain amount of weight. So when I got over a certain amount of weight, it started to change. Mm-hmm. But you don't know all of that going in. And I would have never known any of that had I not had that experience. But
all the vampires out there, I have bad kidneys, I have bad liver, I have a bad heart, I have bad blood.
But he got a very nice smile.
Leave me alone.
But he got a very nice smile.
We are coming for you. So Amherst, give us some.
Stevie, my eyes are bad too. So,
but he got a nice smile. He got a very nice smile.
So tell us, Amherst, tell us about this gentleman that you met. Feature.
So I met Delani. I had Franklin. He is a veteran of the Army, and woohoo! He is a very humble human being, a very sweet human being. And if you read the article, you will see his picture, and his smile like is enchanting. Like infectious. Yes. I'm overdone, so my
big word studio.
I'm overdone, so my brain is like struggling right now. But he suffered after he did 2 tours in Iraq, and he had suffered from PTSD. And when he came back, he was kind of trying to find a way to handle that, and he went through therapy. And throughout his entire lifetime, he was always drawn to photography. And even during his deployment, he had actually taken on a media like job in the military and continued that after he, you know, came back home. He actually, you know, found photography to be a perfect outlet as a job and a career choice. So that's what he went into. After he was back through therapy, he realized that, hey, taking photos and editing them kind of calms my mind down. Mm. And, you know, he saw an outlet and an opportunity. Your favorite word.
Yes, my favorite.
That, you know, to offer other veterans who are going through PTSD to give them something or offer them something where they can go out with him and take photos, learn how to take photos, learn how to the process of editing so that they too can calm their mind and, you know, regain their focus if they're having problems with something. And also to give them an emotional like outlet too, because the memories that, you know, are formed are usually positive ones because they're going out as a group talking, you know, and just kind of getting along together and having that unifying, you know, situation of we are all veterans, we're all dealing with the same thing. So it's therapy / photography, and he's doing it as a nonprofit. And so he's always looking for other veterans to join. But he also has a civilian side that he wants to, you know, have this for as well. So I was very humbled. I was very impressed with everything that he had to tell me and everything that he's, you know, doing. So it was a joy in order to highlight him.
Ah, so
I really like that because me being a veteran and me.
I figured that you would want to jump in on
this. I know stuff. Because when I saw that, it first of all, well, your picture of you is, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, it's beautiful.
Thank you. I took
but, that. but it's nice because people don't realize that the military post-traumatic stress is uniquely different than sometimes civilian. Because we might come in with post-traumatic stress, and then we have post-traumatic stress from different layers. Mm-hmm. So finding an outlet, it takes a time. It's like you don't know how to cook in the kitchen, and you make mistakes by cooking, and then you finally get the recipe correct, and then you do a great job. So him finding an outlet such as this, which I definitely want you to send me his article, because I definitely want to share with the Wounded Warrior Project. So that he could become a speaker at the Wounded Warrior.
And that's one of his goals, too.
Oh, well, then that's easy fix. because I can share the point person before I leave today. And the reason why is because veterans need to hear these outlets. Some veterans, they have a tendency to stay in that lane, and they never move from that lane.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of them for years. And then I went on an Odyssey trip, which they challenge you to get out. Like, they snap you out of that thinking mode.
Okay.
And it's something that you can't say I could bring you, because you may not have the same effect.
Okay.
But him doing this, it caught my attention right away. And he's giving back. So that's kind of makes sense to me. Because one thing about being a veteran, you go to these different countries and they are giving. And then you come back home and we're not giving. So uh-huh.
So that makes a big
yeah. You don't
contributing.
Yeah.
Well, veterans are. I'm in your country giving. What exactly are we giving? I'm just curious.
Oh, when I was in Germany, I worked in Guatemala for 3 weeks.
Okay.
And then I did medical care. I helped feed. I gave them shots. Okay. I did dental extractions.
It's funny that you say that, because that's actually and it's, I think I have that included in the article, is that he was. He had said he's always been a natural helper, and in the Army he helped. And then, you know, coming out of this, he was looking for an outlet and how to help. And he was like, this is another thing, another aspect or cog in the whole of it, is that, you know, he's helping veterans and he's leading.
And I'm going to tell you right now, each time he does that, each time he helped one person, his heart is completely healing.
Oh wow!
It's like a strong healing.
Say, Brother Shamar.
No, I just think it's contingent on the nature of your deployment. Mm-hmm. Like, I know a lot of veterans, particularly, you know, when I came out of college, a lot of my friends ended up in the first Iraq War.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a lot of friends now in my circle who are my young bulls who were in Afghanistan. The nature of your deployment matters to all of the issues that we're talking about. And so when you feel like you're invading someone's space, but your mission is unrighteous, it does mess with your mental health.
Yeah.
You know, we got to get, you know, a lot. They won't say it out loud, so I'll say it. A lot of people who were deployed to Afghanistan, many of them were patrolling poppy fields.
Jeez, it was high.
So when they come here and they see the opium crisis that's going on in America, they know that their tour of duty has something to do with that.
Yep.
So it's traumatizing for many of them. They can't say it out loud, but so I'll say it.
Please do.
So, you know, we got to talk. So when she said helping, that's on my ear, like helping. Like, I must depend on your deployment.
Yes.
Because a lot of people I talked to, they didn't see themselves as helpers. They saw themselves as facilitating some other matters.
Yeah.
It wasn't always that noble.
There's always a back issue, something that's going on that nobody talks about or nobody wants to share with you before you walk into the room, hoping that you're not smart enough.
But that contributes to what we're calling PTSD and stuff like that. You know, when you know you are over there and you've done some heinous things on behalf of something that was really at the end of the day all about money.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about, you know, democracy. It wasn't about politics. It was about money. And it's like, yo, it's hard for me to live with what I did to people. And that's a lot of what's going on with people.
So if you're going to tell the story, let's tell the story. Real weight.
Yeah, and I think it's a beautiful way to talk to people, though. Like, I would love, like, people need to talk to, quote-unquote, our veterans.
People need to be able to talk. That's the most important aspect of all of this, with sharing the stories, with us bringing topics up and actually having forums such as this and the other forums that we have. It's actually opening doors so that people can see that it happens and there are people out there who are going through these things.
Sorry, I didn't mean it gets too political.
No, because
you're perfect. There is no politics. Seriously, it's real life. If we can't accept and understand what really is going on with us, then we all have major problems, because we cannot be in closets for the rest of our life. Yeah. It doesn't exist.
And you did something that, like, which is very important for me. When I'm in the military, I only see one side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see your view. I don't see no one else's view.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It took me a long time to get me back when I got out of the military. Right. You know what I mean? I actually
honey, I need to tell you something. My dad was in the Vietnam War, and he hasn't gotten him back yet.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that whether or not you are back, people carry that with them for their entire life.
Yep.
My dad is a Vietnam veteran, and when he came home, he had post-traumatic stress disorder out of this world. I mean, he was angry with the world. So listen, people, on that note, it good things always come to an end. And whether we have a good conversation and we're moving around the room and just really enjoying each other's energy, things come to an end very quickly. So I want to thank Laura and Brother Shamari for coming on to the Inside Scoop today and sharing this with me.
I didn't know I was going to be a guest. I thought I was like sitting in the corner and observing.
No, whenever people come in the room, they get pulled in. It's not happening like that. Amherst, thank you for making it from behind the house. And listen, people, next week, join us on the Inside Scoop. It is Dance for Life. I think they're getting ready for their next show, and we'll have somebody else on. I don't know yet, but please join us. I'll be here. Amherst will be here. And if I can get one of them to come back, they'll be here too. Thank you for listening. Have a good day.
Yay. That was nice.